This morning, I'd like you to go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. We're learning about miracles, signs, and wonders. And I know that there are some people here that stood up last week when I asked if God had touched you on during our Easter service, our Resurrection Day service. Is there anybody here that would like to just testify to what God has done for them as of our Resurrection Day service? Anybody have a story or a testimony of how God touched you? Because you know what? Miracles are for people. God likes to do miracles for people to show his word and to show him. And is there anybody here that would like to testify? Just want to give you an opportunity. All right, I don't see any hand. That God, how God touched you at our Resurrection Day service? All right, praise God. You know, sometimes when we don't know what to do in a certain situation, God says he'll give us wisdom, won't he? You know, God's concerned about your everyday life. He's concerned about every area that concerns you. Amen? And in Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15, the Bible says this, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And say, that means us. So whatever your world is, amen? Whatever your sphere of influence is, you should be preaching the gospel by what you say and what you do. "And he that believes is and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." How many know that the Lord is interested in working with you? Amen? "And confirming the word with signs following." And Adam Clark, he says this about God's cooperation. He said it was twofold. It is internal and external. Internal is God illuminates people's minds. He convinces them of truth, and he establishes them in truth. How many know that when you preach the gospel, it is not your job to convince people? It is your job simply to tell people what God has done for you. Tell them good news. Amen? Focus on good news. And as you go, the Holy Spirit, then, he's going to do the convincing. So you don't have to try to convince someone to be saved. You just have to tell them how good Jesus is. And when you tell them, put a big smile on your face. Amen? So God cooperated with them by convincing minds, convincing people of the truth, and establishing them. And then external, the people who hear the gospel and believe it, they receive the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest miracles is for someone to be born again. Amen? That's a great miracle. You know, because Nicodemus said, well, how can a man go back in his mother's womb? And Jesus said, that's not really what I'm talking about, but you can be born again. That's a miracle. To be delivered from death, to have a new name, you know, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So they receive the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. They're convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And, God... He moves things. You know, miracles, they can remove obstacles. Did you know that miracles can remove? You know, when there were often times when people needed to cross the Jordan, it would be at flood stage, and God would open up the river they could cross on dry land. Same thing that they did through the Red Sea. That was an obstacle, wasn't it? You know, Jesus needed to get to the boat, so what did he do? He walked on water. He removed the obstacle. Miracles remove obstacles. Okay? And, you know, miracles, they support you in the work that you're doing. You know, when Jesus originally sent his disciples out, he said, take no purse with you. Eat whatever is put in front of you. How many know that when you work for the Lord, God takes care of you? The Bible says the laborer is worthy of his hire. So when you're doing what God told you to do, and when you're planted where God has planted you, and you're growing in his kingdom, he's going to take care of you. Amen? And I want you to go with me to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter 4. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 4. I'm just giving you the hors d'oeuvres now. We're going to get to the meat in just a minute. Hallelujah. And I want you to look at verses 1 through 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought toward me. How many know that it's a good thing to advertise God's goodness? Here Daniel was telling the king that he wanted to show the goods, he wanted to show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought toward him. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. Glory to God. Then I want you to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I want you to look at verses 22 through 23. Well, we can read through the end of the chapter here. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore. King James says sore, that word is terrible, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Where did he show these signs? To the enemies, and he showed them before your eyes so that you could see. How many know that God is not someone that does things in the dark? God does things in the light. Who do we know that operates in darkness? Satan. He likes to deceive. He likes to hide things. He likes to keep things secret. But God likes to do things in the light. God is not afraid of showing forth his power. Amen? And we've got to believe that God is able to show forth his power anytime. And it goes on to say, and he brought us out from there. How many know that sometimes miracles need to bring you out of something? Amen. But then that's not the end of the story. And that he might bring us in. Listen, once you get brought out of fear, you got to be brought into faith. Amen. Once you get brought out of sickness, you got to get brought into healing. Amen. Amen? You know, God heals you not to get sick again, but he literally wants you to walk in that. Amen? Amen? That's really God's heart. God wants you to walk in it. So he's going to bring you out of something, and he's going to bring you into something to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. Our land now is all the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that God has promised you is our promised land. Amen? That's the land that God has given to us. That's the land that flows with milk and honey. And all this was done by miracles, by signs and by wonders. And you know, God wants us to flow in miracles. How many know that when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation, God needs someone to yield to those gifts? The Bible says the Holy Spirit operates those gifts as He wills. So that tells me that when He wants to operate a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or the working of miracles, He needs someone to yield to His operation. He needs someone to work with His operation. Amen? And we've got to be yielded to God, and there are seven things that is going to help us to flow with miracles better. And I mentioned three of them last week. Number one is meditation. Amen? How many know that meditation is to the spirit what digestion is to the body? If you want to get food in your body, it has to go through a process of digestion, right? Well, meditation, God told Joshua, I want you to meditate in the word how often? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written, then you'll have good success and then you'll make your way prosperous. So meditation is how we digest God's word into our spirit. It's how it becomes a part of us. The more you meditate, the more you think about, the more you ponder what God has said, what you've read, what you've heard, the greater your power is going to be to walk in it. And we have to, meditation is a spiritual discipline. Okay? The second one we talked about was saturation. And I gave you the example of a dry sponge. You know, you can't clean good with a dry sponge, right? It's all stiff. It's all hard. You can't get into corners. But you get that sponge wet, and you saturate it, and it becomes pliable. You can squeeze it. You can get into places that you couldn't get in before. And how many know that we need to be saturated with God's word? We need to be saturated with God's presence. You know, every one of you are here like sponges. And you're here to soak up not only the word, but also the presence of God. You know, we've got to soak up God's presence. Paul, he told the Corinthians, he said, you know, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, but I have come to you with demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, if God can't prove His word true, I don't know if I want to believe it. But I'm not worried about God proving His word true. God has shown me personally time and time again that His word is true. And you know what? He does the same for every one of us. So we got to be saturated. We got to be filled. How? Till we overflow. You know, it's when you got good water pressure, and you hit that water fountain, the water comes right up, right? But how many know there's been some times in this building where we lacked water pressure? And you go to turn it on, and it's like drip, drip. You can't wash dishes with a drip. You can't satisfy thirst with a drip. It needs more. And saturation is really walking in the fullness. And we talked about how Jesus, he fills all in all. You know, right now as I'm speaking, God is filling you. Amen. There are things that we lack because we're human beings. There are experiences that you've went through that make you doubt or make you want to not believe what God said because those experiences speak so loud. But you come to the filling station. Amen? And, you know, oftentimes I'll say things, and I don't know what everybody's dealing with, but God does. And He knows just how to get the message to you. I've heard time and time again, oh, you were just speaking to me today. Well, I wasn't, but God was, because He knew what you needed. Then there's revelation. How many know that you need a revelation of who God is in order to walk in it? Jesus asked His disciples, who do men say that I am? Oh, they said, you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, you're a prophet. But then He asked the most interesting question of all. who do you say that I am? In other words, who am I to you? Why? God's personal. He's not concerned about the consensus of the multitude. He's concerned about the opinion of one. Who am I to you? Who is God to you? Well, when you lack finances, how many's ever lacked finances? And you get a revelation that Jehovah Jireh is a provider, and you go, God, I thank you that you're a provider, and you start walking in that, guess what? When you're walking in it, provision will come. But it takes a revelation. It takes God pulling back the veil. It takes him showing you truth. Peter had a revelation to that question. He said, without thinking, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, Peter. He said, flesh and blood is not revealed to this to you, but my Father in heaven. That means Peter didn't go to school to study that. Peter didn't hear it around a conversation around the water cooler. Peter, God spoke to Peter's heart, and he had that revelation, and guess what? He walked in it. Yes, he denied the Lord, but who spoke on the day of Pentecost? Because he had a revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now we're going to go a little bit further today. The next one, number four, is observation. Observation. All right? Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy is one of my favorite books of the Bible, because it has one of my favorite characters still in it, and that's Joshua. It's the second law. I love how it sounds, Deuteronomy. And I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and let's go to verse 29. Well, we better read verse 28 to get the context here. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me. Say, the Lord is listening to my words. That'll make you check your words before you say them. You know, like a coat check, you go to a place and they check your coat. We got to have a word check. We got spell checkers on our computers, but what about the words that come out of our mouth? How are we checking our words? If you're not getting good results, you better check up on your words. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto you. Not only the people were speaking to Moses, but God was listening. And they have well said that all that they have spoken. Now look at verse 29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. What happens when you keep God's commandments? It's going to be what? Well with you. What happens if you break his commandments? It's not going to go so well. You might get stuck in a well and God will have to dig you out. And with their children forever. Go say to them, get into your tents again. But see, we got to have a heart that is inclined to God. If you're going to be, see, to observe, it means to look or to gaze or to study. It's not a quick glance. There's things that we have to observe. If you're driving, you better be observant. Isn't that right? Because things come at you from all different kinds of directions, unexpected things, and you've got to be observant. God told Joshua to observe. And he said, you got to observe to do. See, if you're not observation, if you're not Jesus, Hebrews 12 says this. Jesus is looking unto Jesus, looking. Never says look, but it says looking. We're never to take our eyes off of Jesus. Why? It goes on, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. and observation. What are you looking for when it comes to miracles? You're looking for how the Holy Spirit is moving. You're looking for the wave that comes, you know, because sometimes he comes like waves. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen a surfer. I've never surfed, but I've seen them. They paddle out there, you know, and sometimes they're waiting. They're sitting on their board, and they're waiting. What are they doing? They're looking. What are they looking for? They're looking for the next wave. They're looking for the opportunity to get on that wave, to mount their surfboard, and to fly on water. And we've got to be observant people. Observation is a key to us flowing with God and his miracles. Go to chapter 6 and look at verses 1 through 3. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. I want you to notice that each one of those words is plural, right? Now, if you're going to do them, how many here have a photographic memory? You can look at something once. If you do, that's good. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of having a photographic memory. That's a gift from God. When you look at something, what happens? There is a picture there that is fixed in your mind. What does that help you do? It helps you do that thing. You know, the other day I was watching a news program, and there was a guy who has been traveling around to different places. He has this memorial. And on this memorial, he writes every name that of a soldier that died in Afghanistan. There's 3,000 some names. He does it by memory. He said he took 10 months to memorize all these names. And now he goes and they set up this memorial, and he sits there and writes every name by hand. He said, I memorized all these places in my hometown, and I envision a guy in each place. That's how he does it. But that's through observation. So commandments, statutes, and judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might what? See, if you're going to do them, you got to see them. If you can't see them, you can't do them. That's like, you know, if you're blind, you can't drive. And I'm grateful. How many are grateful that blind people can't drive or shouldn't drive? But you know what? God made a provision for blindness, didn't he? He heals blind eyes. That you might hear the Lord God, that you might fear the Lord God, keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your son's son. So every one of us, he says, so that your life, your days may be prolonged. You know, we're supposed to be watchful. Even the Bible says, watch and pray. Sometimes you got to pray with your eyes open. Because you may be praying with someone and they might be sleeping and you not know it until you see them. But you know what? God uses this term as a watchman on the wall. They're supposed to look out if an enemy is coming, and they're supposed to give notice with what they see. When John the Baptist, Herod put him in prison. And while he was in prison, he began to doubt who Jesus was. And John sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one to whom we should believe, or should we believe in another? And he said, go tell John the things you see and hear. And he went into the works, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. Amen? How many know that God is a visual God? Just as much as he's an audible God, he's a visual God. And the way that God does his vision is he performs his signs, wonders, and miracles for you to see. Because God wants his approval on his work. God is like an artist, and just every good artist will have their signature on their masterpiece, right? Well, you are God's masterpiece, and when God does something in your life, he wants his stamp of approval on it. He wants his signature on it. He wants you to see how good he is to you. So we got to be people who observe. You got to look to the Word. Hallelujah. The next thing that comes after observation, you know, you've been looking to the Word. Okay, what do I do with everything that I see? You're going to like this. You begin to declare what you see. You know, God told Abraham, he said, you can have every place that you see, the north, south, east, and the west, you can have it. Whatever you can see, you can have. Amen? And what Abraham saw, he began to declare. So the next step is declaration. You've got to make a statement, an announcement, an affirmation, a testimony. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. These will help us, these keys, meditation, saturation, revelation, they kind of go in an order. Observation and declaration. When you've been spending enough time looking at the Word, now you got to do something. You know, faith comes by hearing, but how is faith released? Faith is released by speaking. That is the basic action that is necessary to release your faith. Speaking. Acts 20 and 27. This was Paul giving an account of his life, and he said, "For I have not shunned or hesitated to declare unto you the whole counsel," or all the counsel of God. How many know that I'm grateful that Paul didn't, he declared to us the whole counsel of God. What God showed him by revelation, he declared to the church so that God could establish his kingdom nation. See, declaration needs to occur in order for your faith to have something to work on. Faith is not silent. There's no such thing as a silent prayer. Uh-oh. Now, Pastor, you just kicked over my sacred cow. Because where I came from, oh, they talked about silent prayer. Yeah, well, let me tell you, if you want your prayers to have power, you got to have a voice to your prayers. You got to make a declaration. Why do you think God gave you your mouth? Why do you think he spoke the world into existence? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. These things will help you. You know, I want to be available to God anytime, anywhere, any place for him to do a miracle if he needs to. But in order to do that, you've got to walk in these things that I'm telling you. You've got to have meditation, saturation, revelation, observation, and now declaration. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. How many know that it's an awesome thing that God entrusts his message with people? You know, angels can't speak the gospel. They can only help you get to where the gospel is preached. How do I know that? Because Cornelius was missing something in his life. Cornelius was a centurion. He was probably a musician. He was of the Italian band. And there was something that he was missing in his life. He didn't know, I mean, he loved God the best he could. But there was some information that he needed. And an angel appeared to him in a dream. Now, how come the angel didn't give him the information? Because the angels weren't entrusted with the gospel. You and I are entrusted with the gospel. But the angel got him connected. He said, I want you to call for a man named Simon Peter, who's living here, who's staying here at this place. And Cornelius, he took what the information that the angel gave him. He sent for Peter. Peter came. Peter didn't know why he was coming. All he knew was that whatever God calls clean, don't call unclean. God told Peter, go with them, doubting nothing. So he went, he shows up at Cornelius' house, and Cornelius had a gathering. All of his family, all of his relatives were there at the house, and Peter just began to speak. And as Peter spoke, what was he speaking? He was preaching the gospel. He was declaring the good news to the household of Cornelius. And in declaring the good news, God said, I like that message, and the Holy Ghost fell for the first time on the Gentiles. And the people who traveled with Peter were amazed that they spoke in tongues just like they did it on the day of Pentecost. It was because Peter declared the word of the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is this helping you? Why am I saying this? Because I want us to get into the flow of the miraculous. I want you to come across when you're entering the gate called Beautiful, and there's a lame man there, and you don't have what he needs to give him, but you said, you know, silver and gold I don't have. Doesn't mean they didn't have money. It just means he didn't have his wallet that day. Come on. And you encounter a man who's been lame from his birth. And you walk into the place. You've been meditating. You're saturated. You got a revelation. You've been observing. And now is your moment to declare. And Peter walked up to that man, and he looked at him. And so the man looked back at Peter. And the Bible said the man was expecting to receive something. You know, like when Josiah, he expects me to pick him up. You know, he goes like this. You don't want to resist that, I'm telling you. But see, because Peter had been going through this, he'd been meditating, he'd been saturated, he got a revelation, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they've been observing, and now it's time to where the rubber meets the road. It's the practical application. Declaration is the practical application of the knowledge that God has given you. How many know that you got to walk in the light as he is in the light? Amen? And he looked at that man at the gate Beautiful, and he said, silver and gold is such as I have, but such as I give you. He grabbed him by the hand, and he picked him up, and that man stood up for the first time in his life. He had been born lame. All he could do was beg until someone with a declaration came along his path and declared to him the word of God, and that changed that man's life. God wants to use you to change someone's life. Say that with me. Say, God wants to use me to change someone's life. Because God's given me his power. God's given me his word. And I'm going to walk in it, and I'm going to declare it. Hallelujah. If you want things to happen, you got to speak it. When you encounter a storm, say, oh my God. You don't say, oh my gosh, look at how big the storm is. You start declaring what God says about storms. You know, when I went to Chicago for that conference, I'm driving along through Ohio and Indiana, and there's these snow flurries coming. And I simply said, everywhere I go, the sun is shining. And I kept on driving. And it would come up again. And I'd say, wherever I go, the sun is shining. Now, I had some cold winds, but I had no snow. Amen? Because at the sign of it, I simply declared God's word. I can't tell you countless times God has brought me through storms. Because I don't magnify the storm, but I magnify the God who's over the storm. Amen? Well, some may say, well, isn't God in charge of everything? Well, obviously, God wasn't in charge of the storm that Jesus encountered, otherwise he'd be rebuking his Father. So that tells me that that storm wasn't from God. It wasn't God's design. It was designed to interrupt their journey. Listen, sometimes Satan will interrupt your journey. And the only thing he can do is try to make himself look bigger than what he is, sound more fierce than what he is, because he's a deceiver, he's a liar, and he's a thief. But you have got to speak. When Jesus encountered devils, he would say, hold your peace, come out of him, go. He would declare, you've got authority to speak to the devil. You've got authority to speak to trees. Speak to your pocketbook. Call those things that be not as though they are. I call you full in the name of Jesus. Did you know that God, we already heard that God listens to your words. When you declare the word of God, God's presence will show up because he loves hearing his word. I forget where it is, but it says there, God waits in heaven to hear his word so that he can perform it. Declaration. Let's make a declaration today. Let's decree a thing today. Go to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. I believe God wants to do some things today. Right now, in this service, there's some people that need to be touched by the power of God. You know, a touch from the power of God can shift things. It can tilt the balance of what was and cause it to become what should be. But someone's got to speak the word over it. And because I'm God's mouthpiece today, amen, we're going to speak the word of God over anyone that needs to be touched by God. I don't care what you need. Doesn't matter. God's got it. Say, it doesn't matter what I need. God's got it. And he wants to give it to me. Say, it doesn't matter what I need, because God's got it, and he wants to give it to me. That's the Father's heart. That's what he wants to do. That's why he sent his word. That's why he confirms his word with signs, wonders, and miracles. It proves who he is. Miracles testify to who God is. Psalm 40. Verses 10 and 11. I have not hid your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness. Just declaring God's faithfulness. When you're experiencing a tough situation, when you're experiencing a challenge, you can say, my God is faithful. I have a faithful God. I have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. My God's going to see me through. My God will not fail me. My God will not leave me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. My God is on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? What am I doing? I'm declaring his faithfulness. How did David defeat Goliath? We think he defeated him with a slingshot. No, he defeated him in what he said. I come at you, against you, with the name of the Lord. Right there, he set the battle. Goliath thought he was going to fight with swords, and David showed up with another weapon called the name of the Lord. And he declared it in the face of the giant. Speak to your giants. There's a miracle in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. Notice, I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness, your truth from the great congregation. withhold not your tender mercies from me. As long as you're declaring his word, he won't withhold his mercies. Your truth continually preserves me. That sounds to me like someone who's meditating, saturating, and has a revelation of truth. You know, I don't know who wrote that psalm, but David wrote a lot of psalms. While he was out there watching the sheep, playing his harp, singing, you know, he was jamming to God. He was becoming acquainted with God and his word. And you know, sometimes you need times of preparation. God knows what you're going to face, and he isolates you so that he can teach you. How many know John the Baptist was in the wilderness? What was his revelation? He was a forerunner of God. His revelation was that he came to introduce the Savior to the world. That was his whole purpose for being. And he's out there in the wilderness. He's out there in isolation. Him and God are having a conversation. He's getting strengthened. You got to get strong in your revelation. You got to get strong in what God's spoken to you. You've got to be strong in it so that no matter what comes your way, it can't deter you from what God said. We need some people who overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Say, devil, you mess with me, I'm going to testify to how good God is to me. You keep it up, devil, I'm going to testify, and I'm going to testify tomorrow, I'm going to testify tonight, I'm going to testify before I go to bed the next night, every day, every night, I'm going to testify. How long do you think the devil's going to hang around in that atmosphere? Do you realize that when Jesus was tempted, devil said, if you're the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. But Jesus had been meditating. He was saturated. He had a revelation. He was observing God's commands. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, if you're going to live by the word, you got to declare the word. You got to do it with boldness. Satan tempted him three times, then realized that he couldn't get anywhere. Because Jesus kept declaring the word, Satan was stopped on all three levels. I believe he tempted him spirit, soul, and body. And all Jesus did was declare what was written. That was it. And then when the devil left him, angels came and ministered to him. See, when you stick with the word, God will stick with you. When you stand up for the word, God will stand up with you. When you don't try to defend yourself, but you let the word defend yourself, God will defend you. What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't have said anything to Nebuchadnezzar? They said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God, whom we serve, shall deliver us. Do you realize that those very words that they declared is what happened to them? God took their words and he heard them, and that immediately dispatched his presence into the fire because of what they declared. And it changed. It changed the nation. See, if you want to change things in your life, change what you declare. I'm going to give you the next two. Next week, we're going to look at the manifestation and the demonstration. But I believe that there are some people here today, and we're going to play that revelation song. And you have a need in your life. I don't care how small it is or how big it is. I want you to be bold. Now, the reason that we invite people to come is because I believe that there's an anointing in coming. Jesus said, come unto me, didn't he? All those who are heavy laden with burden, and I will give you rest. Maybe you just need rest. You've been fighting, you've been standing, you've been believing, and you just need some rest. But there's an anointing. See, and here's the thing. You activate your faith the moment you get out of your seat and come up. And while you're coming up, you should be praising God, thanking him for what he's already done. Amen? Because as far as God is concerned, it's already done. He's just waiting for us to believe it. Let me just give you these questions I had introduced in the first Sunday that we did this. And after I give you these questions, I want you to play the song. And then if you need a touch from God, he's here to touch you. How quickly can you believe God's word? That's up to you. How quickly can you believe God's word? How quickly can you connect with God's word? You know, I mean, when a semi-trailer and a trailer, they just back up, go beep, 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 clunk. They're connected, right? How quickly can you connect with the power of God? How quickly can you plug in a lamp? How quickly can you connect? How quickly can you rest on the word with nothing else to hold on to? Can you just give yourself to reckless abandon and not have anything else holding you up but the word of God? You're about to jump out of a plane and all you have is a parachute. It's enough to hold you up. How many know God's word is your parachute? And then finally, what does it take for you to perceive God's word as your reality? What does it have to take for you to perceive what God said as your reality? You simply just accept it. You forget about what you feel. You forget about what you've heard of the opinions of others. You forget about what your body is saying, and you just simply embrace what God said. Amen? So I want you to come with that, those in mind. All right? Those of you that need a touch from God, I believe that God's going to touch you. I believe that God's going to do what you need to do. Because all things are possible to who? Hallelujah. So play that song, the revelation song. God's going to give you a revelation. Amen? Some of you need a revelation. When you have a revelation, you can start a revolution. Hallelujah. Just come on and gather. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? God's a good God. He's a miracle worker. But we don't live by miracles. We live by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. God is so good. Oh, Lord, just praise him a little bit. Praise him a little bit. Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for stretching forth your hand and touching every person today in the name of Jesus. Touch them with your power. Touch them with your glory. Lord, touch them with your strength and your peace. Whatever they need, Father, they're going to make a divine connection today. They're going to hook up with the Holy Spirit, and they're going to get what they need in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to start down here. Oh, glory to God. Today is your appointed day. Yes, yes, yes. Strength. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that strength is arising in her right now, Father. You are enabling her to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, to profess a good confession before many witnesses. In the name of Jesus, Father, give her the strength that she needs in her body right now. Restoration of health right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we just release the power of God, and we hook up with her faith. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for touching her with your mighty, mighty hand in the name of Jesus. He is touching you. He has touched you, and you are touched. Oh, Rabashon de Rabarakasia Ramama. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do what needs to be done, Lord. make the adjustments that's necessary, Father, by revelation. Thank you that you're touching them. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, Rakasikia Ramama. Oh, Ramama. Father, let your anointing flow right now. A new and fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have placed him where he is for such a time as this. Father, we need some people who are full of the Spirit of God and who are placed in positions of authority so that they can declare your word and have your will be done. And I thank you, Father, right now, that as he declares your word, doors are going to open in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramaka Sundara Basuta. Father, just touch her right now with the power of God. Let her know that your power is real. Oh, Rabasundara Ba. Like electricity coursing through her in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you for touching her. Holy Spirit breathing her right now in Jesus' name. Turn the light on, Lord. Turn the light on, Father. Let revelation of your truth and knowledge increase in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for touching her, Lord. Just let it rise up within her. Let it rise up within her belly. Father, out of her belly, Father, flow rivers of living water. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing that God can't do. You can rely on him. He didn't bring you out to take you back again. He brought you out to bring you into a promised land. Father, I declare a breakthrough in believing in the name of Jesus. A breakthrough, Father. We're breaking through obstacles. We're breaking through hindrances. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabbi Kassunda, touch him, Father, with your mighty, mighty power. I thank you, Lord, for touching you, Father. Activate your anointing. Activate your anointing in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabbi Kassanda, let him experience the power of God, Father. Oh, Rabbi Kassanda, Rabbi. I speak deliverance, Father. Deliverance from the world's influence. Deliverance. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Rabbi Kassanda, Rabbi Kassanda, Rabbi. Oh, Rabasanda, Rabakasanda. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for extending your hand and releasing your anointing and touching her life in the name of Jesus. Father, I call her free. Free in every area, Father. Spiritually, financially free. Father, I declare a supernatural miracle, Father, as yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, give her the rest. The rest. The rest. Lord, deliver her from toil in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you're bigger than any challenge or situation. Oh, Rabakasunda la barabakasanda la mama. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rabakasanda la mama mama mama. Ia Rabakasanda la bakasanda. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Father, that he declares the truth, which is the word of God, and he experiences that truth in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabakasanda la mama. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that she doesn't halt between two decisions anymore, but she makes up her mind, Father, and does what she's supposed to do in Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise, Lord, that your touch, your breath of your spirit, Father, it breaks off every chain, every weight, that he can run the race that is set before him. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord, for a fresh perspective on things. Activate that truth that he knows, Father, that truth that he operated in. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, he needs to be drunk in your spirit. Oh, Ramababako, son of a mama. I thank you, Father, right now that you give new wine in a new wineskin. Father, make a new wineskin right now that can contain the new wine, the new work, the new thing that God Father, I thank you, Lord, that as God arises, every enemy that he has faced is scattered and they flee from him seven different ways in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for touching your son with your mighty power. Touching him, Father. Oh, Rabasunda. Saturate him. Lord, rub it all over him in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for new strength. Strength for such a time as this. Rabasunda, stir him up. Stir up those gifts, Father. Stir. 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 Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and your gracious to be released in the name of Lord, touch us with your power, with your might, with your strength, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rama, we release the miracle work of the power of God. Because you declared your word, and you confirmed your word in John 12. Father, you brought him here to do a work in you. Yes, let the word, let patience have a perfect work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty power, for your grace. Oh, I thank you, Father, that she rises up and she declares the word of the Lord with power and authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabakasandala Mama Mama. Unlike you've ever seen before. Unlike you've ever seen before, God is opening a new door. A new door. A door of a new and fresh anointing in your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you praise and glory. God, Lord, to touch him and to lead him in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I come to the name of Jesus. Yes, Father, give it all in the name of Jesus. Change, transform it, renew it, renew it. Oh, Lord, I come to the name of Jesus. Father, I come to the name of Jesus. I call a full restoration of strength. Just like the lame man who couldn't walk, but then began to walk. Just like the dead man who was dead, but then he was alive because he met the resurrection and the life. Father, I thank you that you are the resurrection and the life in her in the name of Jesus. You are her resurrection. You are her life. You are her strength. Oh, as she waits on you, Lord, you will renew her strength. Oh, Rasati Rabababa. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, Rabakasandala Mama. Father, she has known and seen your faithfulness. If you were faithful then, you're faithful now. In a new way, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for coming. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabbi Kassanda. Father, we thank you for stretching forth your hand to do great and mighty things in his life in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabbi Mama. Father, you are the potter, and he is the clay. And Lord, I thank you that as the hands of the potter are moving and smoothing the rough places, oh, shaping and forming and fashioning after his glory in the image of Christ, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for anointing him with fresh oil. Thank you, Lord, for touching him with your mighty power, filling him, meet every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you. You cannot fail. Oh, Rabbi, 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 Rabbi.